Boy, I like that music. Did anybody like that music? Anybody like the music? Anybody like the big band? Anybody besides me? All right. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I really appreciate you being a part of this series. It's been a very challenging series as we've talked about those people. You know, those people. You know, those manipulating, critical, hypercritical. What was the other one there? Chronically needed. How do we deal with those people? And what I've liked about this series, and what's bad about the series for me is, when I talk about those people, sometimes I'm talking about myself. Anybody in that boat? You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, can I be hypocritical? Yeah. Can I be manipulative? Yeah. Am I critical? Don't ask Laura, okay? You know, we wrestle with this. And so we're going to wrap up the series this morning. And so I want to encourage you to get your little outline out, and we just kind of follow along and kind of see, how do we deal with critical people? How many here have people, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a student at school, maybe it's a mother or a father, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a spouse. How many people have somebody that's critical in their lives? Raise your hand. Anybody? I see a few hands. Yeah, somebody that didn't raise your hand, you're probably going, why does he always ask questions like that? You're being critical of me right now, so, you know, let's face the fact. We all have this tendency to be critical, and I want us to think about that and to realize it's just part of nature that we're critical. I mean, it goes all the way back. I got a little outline here. I gave you three examples in the scriptures. Anybody know the guy named Moses? Anybody remember a guy named Moses in the Old Testament? You know, the 10 plagues and, you know, leading Israel out of Egypt when they're in bondage and all of that. Well, Moses had a sister and a brother that were older than him. And when he was leading them, they were following, and Aaron was second in command. And all of a sudden, Miriam and Aaron kind of said, well, he's our younger brother. Who does he think he is? And they become critical of Moses. They started criticizing Moses about who he married and how he was leading. And they were all over Moses and was critical of him. Come into the New Testament, and we got the man who probably wrote most of the New Testament. His name's Paul. You can read his letters there, and he wrote most of those. And Paul was criticized. And one of the things he was criticized for was, at least it seems to be, as you read the words, the Bible, he always talked about, well, I don't speak well. And he talks about his lack of speaking skills. And he's describing himself. And so people are probably writing about his people skills. And what was interesting, you read one of the stories, he was preaching, and, you know, you might think I'm long, okay, but he preached past midnight, and he just kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going, and some guy sitting in the window fell out the window and died. Now, I've never put anybody to sleep, so you die yet, but, you know, and he was criticized, and he wrote, Jesus was criticized. Jesus was criticized for eating with sinners. He was criticized for healing people. You know, he does a miracle, and somebody says, well, you're doing it on the wrong day. I mean, and they wrote Jesus. I mean, criticism is a reality. And we all face that criticism. Every one of us will be criticized. All right? So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to join with me. Now, everybody, all right? And I want you to say, I will be criticized. Are you ready? Everybody. I will be criticized. All right? You will be. It's not if, it's when. And we're all going to be critical. People are going to say things. And people are going to make insinuations. You're going to go to work, and somebody's going to talk about you at work. And maybe your work skills or your lack of work skills, and criticize you because you don't work as hard as they do. Or you're going to go to school, and somebody's going to criticize you about your work at school. Or somebody's going to criticize you about the way you part your hair. Or the clothes that you wear. Or the way you get your hair cut. Yeah. People just criticize about everything, and they just nitpick, and they find things. And it's those people. I'm sure none of you ever do that, right? Nobody here ever, you know, tries to find those things and look for those things, you know. How about you? We criticize for the way people, maybe some family members or others, spend their money. Or maybe the way they don't spend their money. Or maybe the way they're raising their kids. Or, you know, that neighbor who painted their house that gross color. And we have this habit, and we have this problem of criticism. It's just something we do, and it's a way that we live. And it's really a challenge. So how are we going to deal with it? What do you do when you're criticized? How do you deal with it? But I want to begin with this. I want to make sure I lay a foundation with this idea. I think I'd do you an in-service if I didn't talk about this. There is a thing called constructive criticism, all right? And so we need to never ignore that constructive criticism. When somebody has something good to say, when somebody has something nice to say, when somebody has something that would help us or improve us or guide us, and so we need to be able to listen to constructive criticism. You want to be a good parent. You want to be a good leader. You want to be a good individual. We need to learn to listen. Look what the scripture says here. If you listen to what? If you listen to what? Say it. All right. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow and understanding. Have you ever had somebody give you some suggestions? Let's call it positive feedback. Let's not call it constructive criticism. That's a good word. But I like positive feedback. They give you positive feedback and you blow it off. And then a month later, 2 months later, you look back and say, man, I wish I would have listened. Anybody in that kind of a boat? You know, that I wish I would have paid attention. We need to kind of step back and understand there are some good things about listening to constructive criticism. When somebody has something valuable to say, to add something to our life. And so I want to call this positive feedback. That we need some positive feedback. You need to know, some of you take your blue card, and on the back you write some positive feedback. And some of it is constructive criticism, and some of it's just compliments. And I appreciate hearing from you because I want to be a good communicator. I want to communicate well. And some topics are easier to communicate with, and some are harder, and how do you approach them, and what do you do with them? And so I want to encourage you, we need to be open to constructive criticism. We need to be open to positive feedback. When somebody comes up and in a loving and an encouraging way says, you know, have you thought about, could you do and just add something to our life? And we need to listen to constructive criticism. But the reality is, there is a lot of unjust criticism, all right? There's a lot of unjust criticism. You know, somebody that just rips you apart. Somebody that just tears you down. Somebody that just puts you down. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. That's just a few years ago for those who don't remember. And I remember we used to talk about cutting each other low. Anybody remember that when you had to cut each other low? You'd say those things just to cut somebody down. And we had cutting words and we would make remarks and say things. And we need to see there is this unjust criticism. And so here's what I want us to talk about this morning. I want to begin with this because I'm going to talk about praying. And here's this first prayer. God, help me to know when to respond to criticism. And I really like the series that I've been sharing with you because I really haven't given you solutions other than I've given you ideas of prayer. Because the way to deal with things is to pray. Because here's what's wrong. And I see this. And when I say this, I'm sure some of you are going to say, I've seen it too. Anybody? Anybody here on Facebook? Anybody? Anybody here? Anybody got a Facebook page? Man, either you guys are lying, or you don't know you have a Facebook page, because I see most of your Facebook pages, all right? How many times, maybe it's not you, okay, hopefully, prayerfully it's not you, but how many times have you read Facebook when somebody has just blasted somebody else? Anybody? I mean, they just tear somebody, I mean, it's just, and it's like, oh man, there's a firestorm of brewing, you know? And it might start out with a text message. I got to text them. They said, and you sit there with your text message, and you just fly back at them with a text message, and then they fly back with another text message. And then all of a sudden, it's on Facebook, and everybody's reading your dirty laundry. You know, years ago, you'd write a letter. you know, and you'd write the letter and it'd be over. Now we post this trash on Facebook. You know, why do we display our public problems, our private problems in a public fashion? See, we react. See, we react to criticism. Somebody pushes our button, somebody said something, somebody did something, and we just react. And what I want to advocate, and what I want us to think about this morning, what I want you to think about this morning, is how can I respond in a positive manner? How can I respond? Not react, but respond. And that takes some discipline, that takes some work, because it's not easy to do. Listen to what the scripture says. Then the people, let me kind of set it up. You know, Gideon is a guy in the Old Testament. He's called a judge, all right? Moses had led the people out of Israel. They came into the promised land. They became to conquer the promised land. You know, it's the land that Israel lives in right now. And they began to conquer that promised land. And in the midst of conquering it, Joshua had passed away. And Saul, the king, isn't there yet. So they start having judges rise up. And there's various judges that come along. And one of them is Gideon. And Gideon is leading the armies, and Gideon is leading the people. And you might know Gideon's story. Basically, the one he's most known for is when he puts out the fleece. He's trying to discern God's will. And Gideon is asking God, what do I do? Do I do this? How do I do this? And God said, and he says, okay, God, if you want me to do it this way, make this piece of wool under my bed wet and the ground around it dry. And God did. And Gideon prays again. And Gideon says, well, I want to make sure it's God. So not once isn't enough, God. This time, make the wool wet and the ground dry, or the opposite way. I don't know which one I said first. Yeah. And God did it. And so Gideon was trying to discern God's will. And Gideon was leading the armies. In the midst of leading the armies, somebody got upset. You ever notice that? It doesn't matter if you do something or if you don't do something, somebody's going to get mad at you. And somebody's going to have something to say about it. And so they got mad. Then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to fight the Midianites? See, they're getting upset because you didn't invite us to the battle. You didn't invite me to the fight. And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, all right? Gideon replied. He didn't react. He didn't get angry. He replied. What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abizi? Forget that. He's saying, wait a minute. Think about where we're at. Yeah, you didn't get invited to the fight, but look how well things are. Look how well things are going. Gideon didn't get in this battle of words. He didn't react. He responded. He said, now stop a minute and let's think about what's going on. Let's stop a minute and let's look around and see what's happening. Are we not better off than we were? Is it not a better situation than it was? Haven't things changed? Yeah, even though you didn't go, isn't it better? Doesn't it look better? Doesn't it work better? Don't we see more here? And he's kind of saying, stop and think about this and look at what's going on. See, here's what I want to make sure you say. I want to make sure I tell you, and as I want you to understand. When you lead or when you're in the front or when somebody's saying thing and somebody's criticizing, you need to prayerfully respond. You need to slow down and think. Because it's hard. I don't know about you. I can only speak for me. You know, when somebody attacks, what's my first initial response? If somebody comes after me, guess what I want to do? I want to go after them. I'm going to pursue them. They cut me with their words, I'm going to cut them with my words. And I'm going to go after them, and I'm going to pursue them. And I'm going to tell you, we don't lead with that kind of an attitude. We don't move with that kind of an attitude. We need to slow down and respond. See, as Gideon spoke, they were able to understand. Look what happened after Gideon spoke. God gave you victory over Obram, Zebum, and the commanders of the Midianite army. What have I accomplished compared to that? When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, the anger subsided. See, in the midst of these conversations, in the midst of those Facebook battles, in the midst of that argument at school, in the midst of that response at work, in the midst of that battle in the home, to respond and not react, to set back and say, let's get an understanding here, let's slow down and see what's happening here, and let's talk about this. See, but usually what we do is we just react. So I want to challenge us when people and when we're in the midst of all this hard and all these things to stop. When that cutting word hurts, because I'm going to tell you, it hurts. Criticism hurts. It's painful. But what we need to do is stop and slow down. Because see, what our reaction, at least what it is, if you hurt me, guess what I want to do? Anybody got an idea? If you hurt me, what do I want to do to you? Somebody tell me. I want to what? I want to strike back. I want to hurt you. You hurt me, I want to hurt you. Doesn't matter what's right. Doesn't matter what's wrong. Doesn't matter who's right. Doesn't matter who's wrong. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And say, I want to challenge us. God, help me respond to unjust criticism. I didn't deserve it. They're picking on me. They're picking on every little thing I do. They're watching every little thing I say. They're just waiting for me to make a mistake. You ever anybody just wait for you to make a mistake so they can jump on you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're just waiting for you to do something wrong so they can just jump down your throat and cut you apart. We need to pray about, God, I want to respond. I don't want to react. I don't want to do the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, I think Facebook has a lot of positive things going for it. I can see a lot of great things happen on Facebook, but I'm going to tell you, I see more tragic stuff happen on Facebook than I see positive. You know? And that social media stuff can get you guys in trouble. You know, those responses and those comments and they said, he said, she said. And I have a rule for me when it comes to Facebook and stuff and those kind of arguments and those kind of criticisms. You know what? If there's only one person doing the arguing, there ain't an argument going on. You know that? You know, if there's only one person throwing the mud, they're the only one that everybody recognizes. Because I'm going to tell you something, if you start throwing mud, you're going to get muddy. So God, help us respond to unjust criticism. Don't let me react. Help me respond. And with somebody like me with a temper and patience, that takes work. That takes work. There's another prayer I think we need to pray. And this one I think is more difficult than responding. Because if you look at your outline, this prayer says this, God, help me know when to dismiss invalid criticism. God, help me know when to let it go. God, help me to know when to not let it shake me up, not let it tear me down, not let it put me down. God, help me learn to dismiss criticism. That's hard. That's hard not to respond when somebody's saying stuff, not to just let it go. But we used to have a saying that really fit this really well. Maybe you've heard this. If you can't say anything nice at all, don't say anything at all. That's kind of what this is saying here. There's a time when we just need to let it slide. You know, if there's this two or three people who hasn't said anything nice to you since 2002, and they come up to you and start saying all sorts of trash on you, it's kind of like, they haven't even talked to me since 2002. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? You know, now if there's two or three people who lovingly, encouraging, I want to make sure you understand, there is time to listen to constructive criticism. I started with that because I want to make sure you heard that. But when there's all of a sudden 10, 15 people who never have anything nice to say about anybody else, why do you care? This is a battle. This is tough. This is not easy as you wrestle with, should I? What should I? And how do I respond? And then sometimes to keep my mouth shut. And for me, that's hard. I always got 2 cents to put in and maybe more. I always got a comment to make, especially when I want to defend myself. It's unjust. It's unfair. It's not valid. What they're saying is wrong. And I want to defend my, and I want everybody to know that. But sometimes we need to dismiss it. And that's not always easy, and it's difficult. We're getting ready to do a 40-day study. And we're doing a study out of Rick Warren's book. And I know some of you had some questions because one of the people was asking me, Rick Warren gets criticism. I want to tell you, you want to know something that's really interesting? Go on the internet and see some of these pastors of these large churches. I'm glad I'm not pastoring churches like Rick Warren and Andy Stanley and Ed Young Jr. You know, they got churches in the thousands. You ought to see the criticism these guys get. You ought to see the remarks these guys get. I mean, I'm sitting there going, how do you put up with that? You know, because, you know, we want to please people. Isn't it pretty hard when, you know, because you want everybody to, anybody here want people to hate you? Anybody? Anybody want people to hate you? We all want people to like us. We all want people to appreciate us. We all want people to say nice things about us. But everybody's not going to like you, okay? I like you. I like everyone here. I love every one of you. But not everybody's like me, fortunately. Some of you guys are going, yeah, thank God for that. You know? But we always get criticized. We're all, you know, so I read all these things. We're getting ready to do a study. And you need to know, I check about those authors, and I check who write the book. And someone was asking a question about Rick Warren because there was a comment about Rick Warren made. It's a good illustration at this point. Because Rick Warren, some people said a newspaper article happened in the Orange County Register. An article that a guy wrote says, Saddleback Church, Rick Warren says, all gods are the same, and he's not going to proselytize Muslims. And they're not going to go after them, and all gods are the same. And it's like, Rick Warren didn't respond. Because he doesn't respond to all the criticism. And he let it go for a couple of days. But about 5 days later, he puts this email out and sends it out. I get his email with Andy Stanley and Ed Young. I'm on a lot of these guys trying to hear what God is up to with these other churches. And it was really interesting. He says, the author of that article never asked me a question. Now, whether the author tried to call him or whatever, never asked Rick Warren a question. Never discussed it with Rick. Never asked Rick about his decision. And what they basically think happened is Rick says, somebody asked Rick Warren the question about our God is a monotheistic God and so is the Muslim God. Well, if my God is monotheistic and their God is monotheistic, it must be the same God. Well, we who are Christians know it's a different God, don't we? And so Rick Warren had to finally write an article that they put in the Orange County paper in response to that article. Because he was just trying to dismiss it, but it wouldn't go away. You know, there's times when it just doesn't go away. And so we need to be aware of those kind of things because God is different. But how do you dismiss it? When do you dismiss it? What do you do when people are talking about it? And how do you deal with all of those? And what I want to say, here's what I want to encourage you. Rise above it. I always say this to people who ask me about, well, should I respond and how do I respond? I'm going to give you a hint. It's real simple. Take the high road and you'll never regret it. When people are criticizing, when people are saying things, when people are pulling you apart, when people are nastily attacking you, take the high road. Take the high road and you'll never regret it. Because if you get on that low road, I'm going to ask you, have you ever responded to somebody who is criticizing and you regret it? Don't raise your hand, I'll just raise mine. Seriously, have you ever, you know, somebody said something, somebody did something, and all of a sudden it's like, and you fly back at it, and then you regret it later on? You know, and it's like, wow, I wish I would have thought about it. Sometimes, just, what is it, like water off a duck's back? Is that one of the old sayings? Let it just rot water off a duck's back? Just let it go. See, it's so easy to get offended. It's so easy to get hurt. It's so easy to carry these things around. And sometimes the best thing to do is let it go. It's just to dismiss it. To leave it alone. Because here's what happens. Let me tell you. If we worry about what other people think, we lose contact with God. See, the one you need to worry about is what does God think? That's what you need to worry about. Not what does so-and-so think, not what my coworker thinks or my student across from me or the guy that sits behind me in class or the neighbor next door. Don't worry about what they think. What does God think? And I tell you, I can give you guys an answer. I can tell you what God thinks of you. God loves you. And God cares for you. And God wants to bless you. And God wants to be with you. And God wants to walk through life with you. And God wants to do good things to you. And the scripture said God wants to prosper you. That's what the scripture says. That's what God wants. Why do we get so caught up and so worried and so stressed about what somebody else thinks? And then somebody's going to read it on Facebook and they're going to think and they're going to, and we get all hyper about all this stuff. Am I off base with this topic this morning? You know, do we see that? I mean, is anybody experiencing this? And we let it stress us out, and we let us worry us to death, and we go to bed, well, what am I going to say? How do I respond? And sometimes, blow it off. I'm on a school board. I'm on all sorts of committees. I've been on committees, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that don't like me. I can remember, some of them are waving their hand at me right now. Thank you, Megan. I can remember, I'm on front of our church there, the Blue Church. There's a lady in town that I have worked with on several projects, and we didn't always see eye to eye. And I'm one who likes to work through the system, and, you know, I just kind of do things different. And she looked me right in the face and said, I hate you. Right, I mean, we're sitting right out in front of the church. And she goes, I just hate you. And I'm going, okay. And I just looked at her and said, you need to know something. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. There's going to be people that like me and people that don't. I'm okay. But you need to be okay with that. But then that young lady had issues and struggles and problems. And guess who she called? She called myself and my wife and said, I need this and we need this. And can you help me with this? And I still get calls from her. I just didn't respond and say, well, I hate you too. I just kind of, you know, that's, I'm going to tell you, if you think everybody's going to like you, you're going to be in big trouble. There are going to be people that just don't like, and it might have nothing to do with you. You might look like somebody that they hate already. You might comb your hair, or you might have said a word that you didn't even know you said. Anybody? Anybody ever do that one? Anybody ever, somebody said, you said da da da, and you said, I don't even remember, I'm sorry I said it. And we let this eat us. And so I want to encourage you, when you're unjustly criticized, when it's invalid criticism, all right? When it's invalid criticism, pray about God, help me respond in a godly manner. Pray about God, help me dismiss this and let it go. Help me let it go. And pray that. And the last one is this, my last prayer. And what's interesting is every one of these messages on those people finish with this. We're critical people. All right? We are critical people. I am sure. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong, but I am sure this last week you had something critical to say about somebody. All right? It might be the way they comb their hair. It might be the way they pick their notes. You know, it might be the way the clothes that they wear. You know, I don't know. It might be that they never wash their car. You know, then it rains and you got dirt spots on it. One sitting in front of my house right now. You know, you get so out, you're like, wash me on the back window of the car, right? Come on. We are critical people. So here. I've had you say something. I'm going to have you say something else, all right? I want you to say this with me. I am critical. You ready? One, two, three. I am critical. I can pick people apart. I can pick people. Yeah, they don't go to Bible study. They're not in a home group. How come they're not in a home? They're not in church on Sunday morning. Where are they at? They missed prayer meeting this morning. Oh, man, I can't believe it. And you know the worst thing? Here's one thing that aggravates me. All right? Now, don't take it personal. Anybody here, please. Don't be offended. All right? Don't be late. The thing that, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. I'm talking about in life. I'm not going to tell you my kids, but I got kids, they're going to be late for everything. I mean, I have a rule. You ask the worship team, here's my saying. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late, all right? You know what that means? If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. That just irritates you. And it's like, why aren't they here? What are they doing? Anybody get critical about time? Come on, am I the only one? You can ask my kids growing up. I said, when we're going to leave, and if they weren't ready, I was leaving. That's just me. I can be critical. Anybody got critical things in them besides me? I mean, you just wrestle with certain things. I mean, How do we deal with this? And so I put it this, God, help me overcome my own critical nature. God, I need help. I can find a million reasons to pick people apart. And you know the quality of my driving skills. And I feel sorry for all of you out there. We just pick people apart. Nitpick. Little things. And we ride them and we pick them apart and we yell about them. And I just want to challenge us that, you know what, if I'm going to talk about critical person, you know, the first person I need to check out is me. My attitude, my standards, my expectations. See, why am I so critical? I like this scripture. Look at the scripture. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Some people make cutting remarks. What's bad is sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we make those remarks that hurt on purpose. We want somebody to hurt. We want them to pay. We want to get back. We want to get even. But I like this. But the words of the wise bring healing. What kind of words do you want? What kind of words do you want to give others? What kind of words do you want to share with someone? Would you rather be known as one who has words that cut or words that bring healing? You want to have words that build up, words that encourage, words that bring people around. What kind of words do you want in your life? And I just want to challenge us. This is not easy. At least it's not easy for me. But it's a battle. Let me share this. Anybody here married? Anybody? I got a few married people here. Let me give you a little insight here. You will never criticize your spouse into being a great spouse. All right? You will never criticize them enough to say, I'm going to just keep riding them until they change. Will they ever change that way? I'm going to give you another hint. Anybody raising kids? Anybody got kids? You will never criticize your kids into being godly kids. It just won't work. Criticism is not a good motivator. All right? Criticism doesn't work. And yet we throw it out there all the time. We use it all the time. You, she, he, they, those kids. If you wouldn't just. And we throw it out there. We look at some clothes and it's like, do you see those clothes? See the way they cut their hair? You know, the kids cut their hair, you know. We try to criticize them into better behavior. And I just want to tell them, we need to, wait a minute. It doesn't work that way. Let me give you the essence of criticism. Criticism usually boils down to two things. It's either pride or insecurity. All right? We're usually going to criticize because we're proud of who we are and what we've done. I am proud of my driving skills. I am a great driver, so everybody else is bad. Now, it took me a long time to learn that. I just thought I was a great driver until I realized, you know, I got a bad attitude about drivers, but you know what? That's really a pride issue. But there's other things that we're insecure about. You know, we're insecure about fitting in, about being accepted, about being liked, and we're insecure about those ideas, and so it's easy to become critical. We have this word today for critical that I see all the time, and matter of fact, as you walk around the school, you'll see signs. You're seeing commercials. But it's really the word that we're seeing today for critical. And I want you to write this word down. All right? Bullying. All right? Bullying. Bullying is really about being critical. Don't you see it around the schools? We got to cut out the bullying. Kids are bullied into this and bullied into that. And we need to understand that's really criticism. I just give you the fancy word, criticism. Today it's called bullying. We just bully and we cut people and we say things. And that's what it's all about. And we all can fall into that. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this thing on bullying and it's like, I grew up, that's how we grew up. That was just part of growing up. You buck teeth thing. Yeah. That's what I was called. Yeah. We'd always, you know, you always had, you know, you long-haired hippie. Yeah. Nowadays, that's called bullying. Today, I'm calling it criticism. We need to step back and realize it hasn't changed. And the only way to change it is prayer. All right? This whole series has boiled down to every aspect has been prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray. God, help me respond to invalid, unjust criticism. God, help me dismiss invalid, unjust criticism. God, help me overcome my own critical nature. See, it's a battle that we have to fight. And I want to challenge you to rise above, to move beyond, to have your words be healing words, to have the words that flow forth from your mouth be words that build up, that encourage. That next Facebook that you look at and somebody's saying something and you just want to just blast back, that you either dismiss it or you respond in a loving way. See, that's what I want to challenge us with. See, I think about how God loves us. In spite of things I've said, in spite of things I've done, in spite of my behavior, in spite of my actions, in spite of things I haven't done, God sits there and still says, I love you. I care for you. And I want us to say that for one another. See, I want to challenge us to have loving words. At the bottom of your page, I put it this way, God, help me love people. That's what it's about. Because see, when you love people, you're not going to cut them up. When you love people, you're not going to bully them. When you love people, you're not going to fly back at them. When you love people, you can shake it off. One of the things I've learned in my life, and that was a slow learner for me, is, you know what? Everybody has a story. See, everybody has a story. We all have a story. And sometimes when you find that story, it helps you love somebody. I had a professor at school that I really struggled with. Really, we didn't see eye to eye. I considered him a liberal. And so I wrote papers that were conservative, and I didn't get the grades I thought. And I'd go back and fight and argue with him. But one day, I'm sitting at a luncheon, a dinner, and he's sitting there, and I'm sitting next to another teacher, and Laura and I are sitting there, and we're talking, and I started hearing his story. He was a pastor at one time before he went into teaching pastors. And he had a car accident on his way to Sunday morning service one time, and it killed his wife and his son. And I can't imagine what went through his head, because he was the driver of the car as it slid off the icy road. And all of a sudden, my perception of that man changed. My criticism of how he graded my papers, my criticism of how he taught and what he said in class, because he wasn't one of my favorite teachers. That all changed when I heard his story. And I began to love him like God loved him, and I understood what he went through. See, I want to challenge us that when you love people, you won't criticize them. You won't pick them. I never said another negative thing about the man, never said anything, never went to his class and argued with him anymore. You guys can imagine me. I don't argue with anybody, so that was unusual. It's just, I learned something. So I want to challenge you this morning. How are you going to respond to that unjust, invalid criticism? You know, to that neighbor who's going to say something dumb? To that coworker who's going to ride you about what you didn't do or what you did or how you did it and you didn't do it right? To that student that sits next to you at school that just talks about the way you comb your hair or what toothpaste you use or deodorant you don't? You know, can we love other people? Can you pray? God, help me respond to invalid, unjust criticism. God, help me dismiss invalid, unjust criticism. And God, help me overcome my own critical nature. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you care and that you love us. And that we battle this critical nature. Lord, it's so easy this morning to think about those who've criticized us. Those who've said those hurtful things to us. Those mean, cutting words. It's so easy to get caught up in what they did and what they said. But Lord, what I want to do this morning is I want to pray that we'll have the nature of you. And that we can put criticism aside in our lives. You know, as we're praying, I've been asking you lately to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe this morning you've sat back and you've seen that, you know what, I've got this critical nature in me. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And maybe you want to change. Maybe you're at a point where you're saying, you know, God, I want to change this spirit within me. I want to change this attitude within me. God, I want to be more like you when it comes to criticism. If you're feeling like, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. If you're just feeling like, you know, God, I got to battle this critical nature. Thank you. I see your hand. God, I thank you for these who truly want their lives to change, that want to please you in every way, that the sincere desire of their heart is to be more like you. Lord, we just come confessing our shortcomings, our failures, our wrongs. Forgive us where we have failed you, where we have failed others. Let us call our pride and our arrogance really what it is, that it's an ugliness in our heart. God, I pray that we will see people as you see them, that we'll have tears for those who are down, that our heart will ache for those who are hurting. I pray for a restoration. I pray, God, that every time I want to speak, that there'll be words that lift up, words that build. I pray for these, Lord, that your spirit will encourage and strengthen them, that they can have the words that bring healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's our practice as a church to give an invitation. Invitation when I simply invite you here and I stand in the front to pray with you. Maybe there's something I said. Maybe there's a decision you want to make. Maybe there's some things in your life you want to deal with. And I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. Maybe you've been hurt and you just need some encouragement. Maybe you feel like you want to hurt somebody. You need some wisdom. And they want me to pray with you about that, but this is your opportunity. But I also want to tell you it's an opportunity when you have to cross the line. You know, I say this week in and week out, and I'm going to say it again. Yeah, I want to talk about what it is to be a Christian. You know, a Christian isn't, well, I was baptized as a child, or I do everything right, or I try to do things right, or I believe in God. I want to tell you, that doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who reaches a point in their life where they simply say something like this: God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. That's what a Christian is, when you surrender your life to God. You know, I've shared with you, I've always believed in God, but it wasn't until I was 17 that I turned my life over to God. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe there's a point in your life where you say, you know, I need to cross that line. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm here to pray with you about that decision. But this is time for God to speak to your heart and for you to respond and for me to minister and pray with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this song. And I just invite you to come, and I'll share and I'll pray with you this morning. All right, as the music fades, would you go ahead and be seated? I am glad you're here. I appreciate you being here, being a part of what God is doing, and I want to hear from you. You got a chance to hear from me. I want to hear from you, and that little blue card is your way to communicate with me. I call it my communication card. I want to pray for you. I want to serve you. I want to minister to you. So take a few minutes. Let me know. Maybe there's something I said. Maybe I offended you. Maybe there's something critical you need to tell me. Constructive criticism. I'm gladly willing to listen.